Okay, last but not least, please help me welcome our last speaker, Jack. There you go. And the remote possibility that somebody can't hear Jack, just raise your arm.
Not at all. Did you have to pen and five? That's fine. I'm Jack. I'm a compulsive reader.
Hi, Jack. Hey.
Oh, man. And where's Rich? I know there's no problem. I thought I didn't get Christmas presents because I'm not Jewish. I didn't know because I didn't believe. Live and learn. For the newcomer, I've been around a long time, and I came here thinking I knew everything, or I conveyed that I knew everything. And down deep inside, I kind of thought I knew nothing. And now, 25 years later, I realize how little I know, and it's bizarre. I was going to turn to tarot like I have for the last 13 years and play like an idiot child who knows nothing and ask him what I should say. And he would look at me, and he would never give me any other answer probably other than, or he'd either look up, he'd say pray, he'd say God, he'd say very little, and he'd say everything. And I'd say, sure, makes sense, and then I wouldn't do it, and then I'd just be pissed at him. And didn't tell him. I had a great life going, but it was mostly between my ears. And it's changing today, just to get it out of the way. I've been around 25 years, and my top weight is a little over 300 pounds, and everything has changed, and it hits me on a daily basis how much it's changed. This morning, I was getting ready to get dressed, and I'm thinking about what to wear today. And I remember some of the pictures and some of the memories that when I was 300 pounds, it really wasn't a whole long thought process about what to wear. There's one time in my life at 18 years old that from the big men's shop, and I don't remember if it was the one by Hollywood High School on Highland or if it was the one on Fairfax below Santa Monica. But it was only one of those two because there were no other places else to shop. And the guy is, or Eddie, obviously, little Eddie at Zachary All, and he would sell me these ridiculous outfits that were incredibly expensive and try to convince me they really looked good, and they never did. And I knew he had to, I thought of that guy yet lately. I lost my phone this week. And so I go to a phone place, and the guy sells me a phone. And at the end, I say, oh, I need a little carrying case. He says, I got the exact one for you. So he gives me this one, and I buy it because it matched the pants I was wearing. And as I'm ready to leave, I said, you know what? Maybe I should get a more practical thing. I'll get a black one. He said, oh, we don't have a black one. And I said, well, maybe I like a little bit smaller, less expensive. He said, we don't have a smaller one. But I realized this schmuck just sold me the only thing he has. And I think I paid $45 or something for this piece of crap. There were no options. Today, there's lots of options. And the biggest fear I had is my wife just bought me, or made me buy Madras shorts. Thank you. Well, she has never even seen me wearing them, and she's saying that. I got choices today. I didn't make plans for the fourth after here, and a friend called me yesterday. And he called me at a time I wasn't supposed to be there, so he could ask me to come over, which he didn't really even mean. And I answered the phone, which sounded like it annoyed him, and he didn't know what to say, so he asked me and my wife to come over to his house today. And I said yes, and so I really pissed him off. And that's how it's been working for me today. When I came in for the first 10, 12, 15 years, as those of you who've been around for a while listening to this Mishnah Gosh know, it was about a food plan and my weight and the scale and some therapy and dealing with inner child and issues. That was my program. Then I met Gerald. And it's no longer my program. If it was, I wouldn't tell him. If you're new, this part makes no sense. So it's a harder sell. Losing weight is an easy sell. Working steps, I mean, yeah, sure. Three meals a day. My food plan hasn't changed in 25 years. I eat three meals a day, and some people say I'm rigid. Some people used to say I was rigid. I don't hear that anymore. I'm not rigid. I'm living life in a way that works for me. I guess you could call it diabetic rigid, or you could call somebody who keeps kosher rigid. I don't see it that way. They just have found a way, like all of us have, to live a life that works for us as we understand it within the parameters of what we do. guess what? That's all I've done today. I just don't eat between meals. And I don't eat sugar, and I don't eat bread, and I don't drink. And there's not a whole lot of other stuff I don't eat. That being said, that's how the weight stays off. And it's been about 120 pounds. I don't own a scale today. I used to weigh myself 15 times a day, and we could go through the things I used to go through about before the first pee, after the first pee, holding the towel rack, not holding the towel rack, naked, almost naked, 1 foot, 2 feet, 3 feet, 4 feet, I don't know, after a shower, before the shower. And it made sense to me. That's the scary part. And somebody telling me this makes no sense, made no sense. This is the way you have to live. When you're living in fear that if you sit on a plastic chair with cloth, you'll break it, is no way to live. I probably wouldn't have felt comfortable sitting on the concrete table before if I could have gotten my ass up here and my legs crossed. Today, the worst that'll happen is I'll break the canvas. It doesn't matter anymore. Plus, Natalie, I was in a meeting where Natalie was speaking not all that long ago. Natalie's maintained about a 2,000-pound weight loss for about 75 years. And she says she doesn't eat much anymore, and it's not because she's still recovering, it's because she's old. And she doesn't want to eat much. My recovery's getting better over the years, so just hang around long enough to get old. I'm too tired to do some of the shit I used to do. I don't want to make amends. So I stopped doing some of the crap I used to do that I have to apologize for. I was driving my wife to where she's going. Where's she going on the holiday? The mall. Where else is she going to go any day in the week? And what I wanted to do was say something about that as she was getting her nail products ready for the manicure. And then I realized, what am I thinking? I could do what I know how to do organically, which is to be angry and obnoxious and controlling. I know how to do that. It's easy. Or I could try something different, God forbid, after 25 years, and God forbid, perpetuate some happiness, some joyousness, and some freeness. And so I wished her a good morning. I backed off of the intensity that I'm sure she felt. I apologized, and I thanked her for being receptive to what I hadn't even said, and she winked like she got what I was meaning, and she said, it's over. And then she went on, and I went on, and so far, so good. Why it changes is, I guess what recovery is really about, after you get over, getting it go away if you were overweight, and then getting underweight because it feels important to do, and then staying underweight and loving it when people tell you you're too thin, and then having health problems that the doctor tells you is related to undereating, and say I'll do something about it, and not, and all the stuff. I mean, it takes what it takes to get to where we're going, you know? And it's finally making some sense. My life is predicated today to the extent that I surrender on a daily basis. I get a daily reprieve from the mishigas and the noise in my head, the extent to which I maintain some spiritual connection. The program to me is more about the 11th step than ever before, trying to align my will with God's, because his is right, and his ain't going anywhere, and mine's generally fairly wrong, and generally very stubbornly entrenched and not going anywhere, and it's a standoff, and it's idiotic, because he's right, and I'm wrong, and I'm obstinate, and it's silly. So I have some rituals, and the rituals are in the morning. I don't turn the radio on anymore, and I learned that from a sponsee who accidentally gave me credits publicly, and I never had the insight to have thought of that in my life. And so I thanked him, but now I do it. Every morning when I get in my car, the instinct is to turn on talk radio because it's noise, and if nothing else, it blots out the noise that's in there anyway. It's external noise, which is better than internal noise because I've heard all of the internal noise. But today I don't do that. I get into the car, and I rattle off the serenity prayer, and I rattle off the first three steps. And sometimes I forget where I am in them, and I get back on track. And sometimes I get distracted while I'm driving, and I try to get back on track. And then I do, God, I offer myself to thee, and then I get lost, and then I get back on track. And next thing I know, I fairly safely drove to work. It's 20 minutes later, and I feel better. And it's a good way to start the day. And I generally, that's how I start the day. And then I realized this morning in the shower, why am I waiting till I get in the car? Because I like to hurry up. I live in a valley, I work in a city, and I don't like traffic. It's not enough that I leave at 6 o'clock in the morning to avoid the traffic. But this morning, I'm in the shower, all of a sudden, I found myself rattling off some of the mantras. That, and you know what? Any tension that may have been in me, and there wasn't very much, just kind of let out. What am I going to eat for lunch today? I don't know where I'm going for lunch today. Will I have to worry about it? In the beginning, I did. I'd call ahead to find out what they were serving. You know what? It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter anymore. The third step is I turn my life and my will over. I think something, Richard, my second sponsor, the one before Terrell, realized I was struggling with the spiritual stuff. I was raised Jewish. I'm a semi-practicing conservative Reformed Jew who goes to temple on the high holidays and lights a candle. And I know all the songs and I know most of the food intimately. But we never learned anything about God stuff. My dad is fairly intelligent. He's fairly cognitive. And I don't think he's particularly spiritual at all. And so my journey has not been contempt prior to investigation. It's been a lot of indifference, a lot of fear, and a lot of avoidance. And today what I do is the second step for me today is came to know a source of information within me that if accessed and honored will allow me to function at a higher level than I've ever functioned before. There's a place inside me or up there, or it's Richie's Magic Johnson, or it's George Burns in the movie, or it's Charlton. I don't care. I haven't quit the debate. I really never... I'm not particularly controversial in LA. I got a big mouth, but I'm not controversial because I know what works for me. What works for me is 3 meals a day. If it works for you to have 2 or 4, I don't care. I don't eat sugar. Some people say if you were really... My therapist, when I first started working with her, said, if you really embrace recovery, you can eat all foods more moderately. And I wanted to either Lee or Decker. And I realized she's not an overeater. She doesn't get it. God bless her. That's fine. As long as she's helping me in the other areas, I don't have to eat like she eats, and she doesn't have to understand that. No more would it be smart to tell an alcoholic to moderately drink. I treat my food plan as if I'm an alcoholic or as if I've got a disease. I wear a dog tag. I had a cancer scare 15 years ago that turned out to be about this far from death allergy to a medicine that nobody's allergic to. So I wear the dog tag. It'd be idiotic to dabble. She's beautiful, that girl. Oh, I'm married. I'm sorry. Okay, married. I can't even look at little... I can't look at anybody anymore inappropriate. I can't hug anybody wrong because Terrell's like right here. Terrell's right here. There's a guy in the program who said he lives his life today as if the life is being videotaped 24/7 and it's going to be reviewed at the end of the day by his rabbi. Not a lot of wiggle room. I just keep Terrell right about here. And I'm, okay. He's not my higher power, but you know what? Collectively, I believe in something that I came in here not knowing about and then not believing in and now believing in. I'm on a roll lately with, I wear a dreidel. Its significance to me is the 4 sides of the dreidel, give or take a little, say the great miracle happens here. And I've been talking about this shit since the day I decided to wear a dreidel, since 2 years, and I'll get sick of it soon. But for today, this is the place where the great miracle happens. To me, it didn't happen in Weight Watchers. It didn't happen in the therapist's office. It didn't happen in Temple. It didn't happen at the Self-Realization Church on Sunset. It happened in these rooms. It happened with you people. It happened on Saturday when I was in a pissy mood after the meeting, and I turned to Tony, and he listened to me. And at the end, somehow, I talked about not working as active a program as I once did. And he said, it came up between us that maybe we should do more reading. And may I? I said, why don't we each read 3 pages a day and just start back on, and in all due respect, he said, let's make it 2. I love Tony. I wasn't going to do 3 anyway. 2, I've done. 2, I've done. And you know what? This is how I work my program. It's been 3 days before today, and I've done it 2 of the 3 days. It's a big deal. It means I'm human, and I got a dang good batting average. You know what I mean? I mean, those guys in the major leagues get paid $18 billion, and they're batting 280. I'm batting 667. And you know what? I'll match what I got with their contract. So I spoke up, I got love, I got a neck rub, I got a suggestion, I got a buddy in recovery, a landsman in recovery, a German word, Yiddish word, meaning men and women, people of the same land, and I felt better. And I haven't seen Tony since Saturday, nor talked to him, but he's sitting right here reminding me. It's not punitive anymore. I don't want a punitive higher power. Somebody went, I worked in an alcoholism treatment center once, and the interns there, the scrubs or whatever they're called, would shame the inmates. And one day, one of the inmates turned back and said, you know what? Stop it. If I wanted to be shamed, I could go and be with my family. I don't need this shit here. I'm paying for it. So today, I keep Tony here. And he reminds me lovingly that I feel better when I make a commitment. I feel better when I work the steps. I feel better when I turn my life and my will over. I feel better when I use the tools. I feel better when I abide by the traditions. I stole a tradition recently and put it into my marriage. We were having a spat about she said or he said or he wants or I want or she wants. And I, out of my mouth came, look, and I passed this off as if it were my own. Our common welfare should come first. And she said, I really like that. For the first time in 25 years, a mate likes up. If you're new, don't leave. Keep coming back. Eat clean, get a food plan, get a sponsor, and don't leave. And the great miracle happens here. Stick around long enough, you'll get old, and you'll be happy, joyous, and free.
Yay!